I'm joined here by Professor Hammermesh, who's visiting us here at the Melbourne Institute for a couple of weeks. But Dan, we're here to talk about media. You've written the paper for the Journal of Economic Education on a media guide for economists. But let's start off. If I'm an economist, why would I engage with the dirty beast that is the media?
Well, it is a dirty beast, isn't it? But in economics, I think economics in a lot of ways is the most useful science or sort of science that we have. And indeed, the reason a lot of us, me included, went into this business was to help influence the real world. And the only way you can influence the real world beyond your teaching in a class, and even that isn't much, is to get out there in the media, get your ideas out. Because quite frankly, if you don't get your ideas out, they're going to pick it up from the gutter. It's like sex. Better have your parents tell you than get it from the gutter.
But how can you influence public debate through a soundbite?
People listen to these things, and it's very hard to measure exactly how much influence you have. But even if it's no direct influence, and usually there isn't, you get an idea out, and it sticks in some people's minds, be they policymakers, or even more generally, be they voters. They're going to think about this, and it'll affect how they think about the world henceforth into the future.
Are economists behoven to introduce their expertise into public debate?
Most of us, and that's certainly true in Australia, are paid by the public. We're government employees. For that reason by itself, I think it behooves us to do it. But even if we weren't, even if we're a private university, our ideas are useful. We wouldn't be doing them otherwise. It's not just a game which we play in order to get ahead. It's a game, it's an activity which I think is really important.
So if I'm an economist and my phone rings, and it's not Professor Tom Tomlinson discussing quantitative theory, it's actually Sam Rogers from the Daily Star. What should I do? Should I freak out? How should I respond?
Well, hopefully Sam Rogers or whoever it is calling you up either A, because it's a general topic on which you have some specific, perhaps unique knowledge, or B, Sam saw a report about some of your research and wants to talk to you further about it. Either case, you should be very readily equipped to do it. This doesn't happen right away. It takes practice like anything else. But you've got to start somewhere. And again, they're calling you because you know more than anybody else, at least in their eyes.
Yes, but I've invested all my career in this. This is my academic experience. And if Sam gets what I said wrong, my credibility goes down the toilet.
Oh, in fact, Sam will get it wrong, okay? And that's especially true if Sam is a print journalist, at least in a TV or radio interview. If you're careful, it's hard to screw it up, okay? But even if they get it wrong, everybody knows that journalists will get it wrong a large fraction of the time. Indeed, I read the New York Times. If I know something about the topic, somewhere in the article there'll be a mistake. But nobody's going to blame you as an economist, and at least some of what you say will have a positive influence.
That's the New York Times. I'm not sure what chance we have to on over here. But let's go back to the different mediums, to radio, to print and television. Is there different ways for an economist to deal with those inquiries from that media?
Well, I think there's a different way, not just for economists, for everybody. I remember when I first started doing national TV, which is the show in 1980, I was told 15 seconds for each answer. Okay? And it's a hot medium. You can't bounce around too much, but you got to animate your voice. In radio, I could be sitting here being interviewed by you stark naked. I don't think it's a good idea, but I could. But I jolly well better have my voice modulated and answer you in segments of no more than 30 seconds to a minute. The third one, print media, that's one where I like, if possible, for the journalist to send me a draft before they get it into print. And unless it's a very quick turnaround thing, they typically will because they want to get it right too. So it's a different approach to each of them. It's a matter of practicing and learning how to treat each of them differently.
And let's look at language when you're dealing with a journalist. I used to be a journalist in a former life when my life used to be good. But language is really important because as a journalist, you're speaking to the expert, but academics speak in their own academic language. So is that important as well? Is the language when you deal with journalists important?
Absolutely, indeed. The simple rule is no jargon. And if you have to introduce a jargon term, even a fairly simple one, you can say it, but you better explain it and define it in about six or seven words. So absolutely no jargon. Simple sentences. This is not a comment that you're looking down on people and say they can't understand it. You've got to get your ideas across succinctly, quickly, and clearly.
Let's see. Any other advice? If I'm not just an economist, if I'm an academic that's interested in engaging with the media, what advice would you give? You've been dealing with media both in America and in Australia here and in Europe.
The advice is very simple. It pays you to do this. It pays you for several reasons. First, this is a way of making sure that you can understand your own ideas. If you can't explain it to a journalist, and a lot of these people are really smart. Indeed, I once got an idea for an academic paper from an interview from a journalist. He suggested looking at something. It's a darn good paper, if I may say so, too. Okay, doesn't happen usually, but the reason for doing it is A, it's a way of clarifying your ideas in your own mind. I've always had some help from that. B, as I say, it's our job to inform the public. Oftentimes the public doesn't want to hear from us. We are not the dismal science without being, you know. There's a good reason for calling us dismal. But we have something to say, and it's crucial for people to hear it. That's the most important reason. If you're just in this business to play games, do mathematics, publish, I think you're wasting your life. I think it's pretty sad if that's the case.
Dan, it's a pleasure, as always. We look forward to you when you return to the Melbourne Institute. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alan.